Welcome to another episode of Be Well, the podcast, hosted by Amber and Randy. On this podcast, we aim to simplify and dissolve mental health stigmas while highlighting depression and anxiety through education and experience. Additionally, we desire to build a new narrative for mental wellness while bridging the gap between experienced and inexperienced people while becoming a new and safe normal. We hope you'll stick around and become part of the B3 community. Now let's tune in to today's episode.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back.
Hi.
Hello. So today we have a guest and her name is Charisse. You guys already know us, so no need to linger there. But Charisse, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, guys. Hi, everyone. My name is Charisse Fraser. I would say I'm a hybrid mom. And I mean, every mom could possibly be a hybrid mom, but I call myself a hybrid mom because I'm a healthcare professional. I work in respiratory care. I'm a crafter. And I'm also a mom parenting autism. So, yeah, that's a little of who I am.
Okay. I had the pleasure of working with Charisse in college.
Yes.
She was the head resident assistant, and I worked under her direct lead. Of course, we both had a boss in common, which was the dean. Mm-hmm. But I did get to know her in college. And then even after that, she was my RA, I think, the next year. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Good connections.
That's actually funny. I did not meet Charisse until after college. I know her husband, who knew a mutual friend based on how they grew up. And so I met Charisse probably a time in college. I don't remember, but definitely after college when we're all grown and people are married and have kids and that type of thing. And we kind of hung out one time in Atlanta, and that was definitely a vibe. Mm-hmm. So, Charisse, we got to do that again.
Okay. So, as Charisse has already shared with you guys, she parents autism, which means that she has a child that has been diagnosed with autism disorder. Charisse, tell us a little bit more about that experience and how your journey has been as a parent.
Oh, well, honestly, the journey has been a roller coaster of emotions. Mm-hmm. You know, initially, we saw things here and there, but I was in denial and I was telling myself, hey, he's just focusing on other things. But we were blessed to have a family member who is a pediatrician who saw those signs. Mm. And she directed us along the right path. But prior to us jumping on that path, you know, we went through all those emotions of grieving who we thought our son should be. You know, we thought he should be this amazing, I guess, a doctor or this or that. And it's not that he can be that, but you can't see past certain things, especially me coming from the Caribbean. Some of those symptoms that are on the spectrum, they are seen as being mentally retarded, you know, and growing up, there are only a few kids who are like that. And based on what you saw, you're like, not my child, you know?
Yeah.
But we gave our time to, you know, sit in that moment and grieve that. It's also been rough with, like, you know, family members or other people out there who are like, oh, no, he'll be fine. They say that autism, those who have autism, they're like geniuses or whatever. So they're like, what is his superpower? You know, little things like that. So all those things contributed to the roller coaster of emotions. But along with the family member. My son, he attended like a regular private preschool and he was doing good. I got him in speech therapy and everything like that. He was around 2.5, 3. But during the pandemic, we had our daughter and, you know, kids.
Okay.
Yes. Sorry about that.
No, you're good. Technology.
I'm not sure what happened.
I'm not sure what happened either, but the last thing I remember hearing is that you had your daughter and then it cut off.
Yes. So we had our daughter at the beginning of the pandemic. You know, school was closed for a while, but when he went back to school, the teachers, they started to tell us, oh, we see little changes in him. Like he wanted to elope or he wasn't really showing traditional social, like he wasn't aware of the social cues and stuff like that, you know. So this one guy that worked at the school, I picked him up one afternoon and he, because they're not really supposed to tell you anything, you know, and they want their $250 at the end of each week, so they don't want you to leave. But this one guy, he just said, I think if you take him to the county, he can get some help. So I was like, the county, coming from the Caribbean, you know, and just being clueless to what autism is. So yeah. I went and I Googled and everything started to align with what the family member was telling me. And we were blessed because her being a pediatrician, we didn't have to wait the traditional 9 months to 18 months on a list just to get a diagnosis, you know? So we were able to get him diagnosed global developmental delay, which is on the spectrum. And he was able to complete pre-K in public school in an autism unit. So,
oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a bit of our journey. Yeah.
Yeah, that is awesome.
I might have missed it, Charisse, but what was the, I know you said you didn't have to wait the allotted time that it, most people have to wait. What was the actual wait time? Like 2 weeks, month?
I think we were able to get in about 3 weeks to a month.
Okay.
We were able to get in. And then once we got the diagnosis, within about 2 weeks, he was able to begin school. School was already going on. He started pre-K in March, which was like in the middle of the second semester. But he was still able to, you know, be in an environment that was geared towards him with teachers, you know, special ed teachers and stuff like that. So yeah, it was like 3 weeks to about a month we had to wait for that initial visit.
Nice.
Yeah. This is a little bit off script, but I just saw a few hours ago that you posted on your page a detox bath.
Yes.
Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit more about that and how that helps with your son?
So kids on the spectrum and in general, they usually have a high level of metals in their system. So I am a part of several other groups with special needs moms and autism moms, and one of the moms, she suggested that, you know, it's bentonite clay mixed with Epsom salts and what do you call it? Baking soda. And I started out doing it like every other day, but now I do it once a week and it helps to calm him, pull the metals from the body, and it helps him to focus a bit more. And I notice the weeks that I take off from doing it, I can see a bit of a difference in him. Now, that's my child. I'm not saying that it will be the same for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, but it has been working for us and we see changes here and there, along with like supplements and sometimes I use essential oils and other little things like that, you know?
So, yeah.
Wow, I've actually never heard of that, so that's awesome. But I want to take this time to, I don't know if you're familiar with our podcast, but we do shameless plugs. So if you want people to follow your page, whichever page you so desire that they follow, to learn a bit more, one, of who you are as that hybrid mom, and then two, to, you know, follow your autism journey with you and your son, and not only the two of you all, but this is an entire family journey.
Yes.
Everybody has to, you know, be able to adapt and to understand what's happening and to act accordingly, if you will. So if you don't mind, if you so desire to plug yourself, we'd be happy to have the people follow you. If not, we also understand that as well.
Oh, I'm fine with doing that. My name is Cherise Fraser, and on Instagram, I am at that hybrid mama. And I work in healthcare. I'm a crafter. And like we are talking about now, I also parent autism. Me advocating for autism is really an outlet for me. You know, even though I'm bringing awareness to it, it's therapeutic for me because there are other moms out there who will comment or they will give advice. And it helps me to feel, you know, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Like there are other people going through this too. And we're all in this together. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Thank you. And as you all know, we will put her information in the show notes, and please show her love, get her numbers up, get her views up. And just send love to her. Parenting is hard in general, but
yes,
especially when there is a little one with special needs that needs a little bit extra TLC and time and dedication. So love what you're doing. And love what you're putting out there, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So if the initial diagnosis did affect any relationships or your mental health, how so?
Ooh. The initial diagnosis... Honestly, it was both negative and positive. And for my husband, I know he saw things like prior to, but for me, like I said earlier, it took me somewhat to a low point because I'm like, no, this is not the dream I had for my child. Mm-hmm. This is not the dream that I had for my family, you know? So I was in a low place. But getting that diagnosis, I felt like, okay, a light switch went on and now I have answers. So mm-hmm. I can use these answers to advocate for him and get him the help he needs. Yes. And I know a lot of moms are out there. They don't want their children to be labeled. And they feel like if they have that label, they're unable to get a job or go to college. But trust me, that diagnosis can help you to get... And you want to... My apologies. I don't know.
Maybe no, I really don't think that it's you, honestly. I don't know what has been going on with this app lately. I'm gonna have to send them a strongly worded email or something. Oh my goodness. Okay, so you were talking about, you know, that a lot of moms don't prefer or want their children to be labeled.
Yes.
And then you were talking about the empowerment of it all.
Yes, that label can be nerve-wracking because it's like you feel as though, oh, it seals it, you know, I can't go back, or that's just what it is. But trust me, there's so much hope on the other side, because now you can be the voice, you can advocate for your child until they're able to advocate for themselves, you know?
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. And I think that kind of feeds right into my next question, which is, how did you overcome that dark space?
Ooh. It honestly, it was very random. It was very random. So with all the Googling and everything like that, I don't know. But one day I was on Netflix and I found this show called Born This Way. It was with some teenagers, young adults. They were Down syndrome, but on the show they were showing, they were capturing how they were learning life skills. And even two of them got married on the show. Then it was another young lady who started a business on the show. And I started to feel like, oh, this isn't so bad, you know? And also while I was Googling, I mean, I was like, are there any celebrities who have special needs kids? So I started typing in celebrities with kids on the spectrum, because someone told me, I don't remember her name, but yeah. So I went Googling and I found out that Holly Robinson Pete, she has a son that's on the autism spectrum and he's a twin. So when I Googled, a show came up and they have a show, I think it's on Netflix or Peacock. There is just capturing their family, but she also talked about his story. And Mike and I, we watched the entire thing. And during that time, I think it was current on TV or whatever network it was on. So we would look forward to it every week. And I was like, Mike, we can do this. We can do this, you know? And then I hear them mention like ABA therapy and stuff like that, you know? So I went looking for all those things I heard on the show. And while that was going on, Kale graduated from pre-K and he went to kindergarten. And we met the sweetest teacher ever, his kindergarten teacher. Like, he entered that lady class, like, climbing walls and jumping off desks and stuff like that. But she talked us through everything. And when he was done with kindergarten, he was able to sit down for at least 10 minutes at a time and do a task. And she became my family friend. She left the classroom and I cried like a baby. But when she was leaving, I told her I wanted to get him into ABA. And she asked, hey, did you check out this ABA therapy center? And I was like, I think so. Come to find out, she ended up being his BCBA at that ABA therapy center. And she would come over to the house. They taught him how to ride a bike and all those little things at the beginning, which gave us hope. And that's when even the guys at church, they started to show him how to play the drums and they would give him drumsticks. And we just saw like this ball of energy start to unfold, you know? And that's when I was like, okay, I know it's a challenge. Some days I go in the closet and I cry, but I can focus on the positive, you know? And that's when I started talking about it on my page. And then we found a community of friends at our church and they have boys on the autism spectrum as well. So we started leaning on each other, you know? So that kind of helped me to get out of that rut, out of that.
One thing I want to point out that you said was that you were on Netflix and then you saw, you know, other celebrities, Holly Robinson Pete, and I think they actually have a book. As far as I feel like I just recently saw that you might have posted it, to be honest. I don't even know. But that's very influential, and if you ask me, because people like you needed that confirmation, and that solidarity between your commonalities, and you needed that reprieve, whether or not you, I mean, you knew it, that is what it sounded like, but you knew that you needed that. And imagine how many people don't even know that that's something that they need. Community, like-minded families going through the same situations. And that's why I am a big component of advocating, because listen, if you don't, who will? And so to see And imagine, you know, if she hadn't have had the gall to do that, how many more people will be suffering in silence?
Yeah.
And I think that's the main key for advocating, in my opinion, is that we are not the only ones going. It doesn't matter what it is in mm-hmm. the world. There's not only one person suffering. I can almost bet my life on that. Like, that's just how, you know, life goes, unfortunately. And I just wanted to highlight that portion to our listeners, just reminding them that, you know, we all go through things. It may not be at the same time. It may be simultaneously. Mm-hmm. It may be, you know, every 5 years. If that's you, good luck. I mean, nice. But it's also like, you also said that you have hard times, but you look at the silver lining as well. And those get you through those rough times, not only with the community and realizing that other people go through the same issue, but also to know that, hey, unfortunately, you know, this is maybe my reality, but it could have been worse.
Yeah.
I could not even have my child. Like, I could be, you know, suffering in other ways. That does not make it easier or invalidate, you know, how you all feel in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But it also is like a, okay, I can see a little bit of light. And then, you know, you allowing Kale to be who he is in his autism is very, very important. Like, he played drums like all the time. Like, if I don't see a stick in his hand on the post, I'm like, wait, what's happening? Where is he? You know, and your church family, your individual family rallying around all of you all to help and be support. That is a strong statement across the board. And so I'm happy to know that you guys have that. And I know that you all are grateful for that.
Oh, very.
But I just wanted to highlight those things, that advocating and finding the silver lining, even in the midst of, are two things that I got out of what you just recently said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So in fear of this thing cutting off on us again, the last question is, Charisse, what does overall wellness mean to you?
Wellness. For me, from a special needs mom standpoint, I would say wellness is more than just physical health. You know, it's about the health of the overall family, how we deal with the isolation, our anxiety, like stress that comes along with it, you know. You have to set boundaries to make sure your unit is okay. You know, you have to rub shoulders with other families, you know, find your community. And your community doesn't just have to be your blood family, because sometimes they may not understand what you're going through, you know. So you can find those other families who may have a special needs child or have a child on the spectrum. And also, you can have different friends for different things, you know. So maybe you have that family who has a special needs child and they understand what you're going through. But then you might have another family who can help you as a woman, you know, that self-care, your husband and his low times as well, you know. And you also want to focus on the other children who don't have the special needs, because you don't want to leave them out as well. And then, like you mentioned earlier, like Kale, we allow him to be who he is. A lot of times you want to teach them how to deal with neurotypical people, but you need to allow them to be themselves and teach neurotypical people how to deal with them. You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a lot of things together, not just physical or mental, but it encompasses all those things and more, you know? So,
For sure. I love that. I feel like we could continue talking, but I just really don't want this thing to keep cutting out on us. But thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And maybe one day we'll have you back. All right. It's been a pleasure. As always, you guys know what to do. You know where to find us, but just in case you're new here, You can follow us on Instagram at bewell_thebrand or email us at thebrand.bewell@gmail.com. And on that note, it is a wrap.
Thanks, Charisse.
Okay, bye.
Bye.